Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Sandra Bueno, and I am the founder of Live and Learn Enterprises and the creator of this inaugural Empowerment Author Series and the Power to Be You show. Today's show is a new beginning, as we have changed the time from 2 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And also the theme right now is about empowerment through the visionaries and coaches and leaders, as well as authors that I have come across throughout the past weeks. And today's guest is just a prime example of this type of leader and leadership that we have in our environment. So I am just greatly excited to bring him on board. And I also like to welcome my regular listeners, as well as the new listeners that represent a lot of the Blog Talk community with empowering groups that are making a difference going forward, making a difference for society, and most specifically our children. And before I begin, I just really like to bring awareness to the purpose of Power to Be You, which is about bringing awareness, accountability, and empowerment through distinctions, testimonies, philosophies, and of course, the leadership of visionaries and leaders and experts in the field like today's programming will show you. As the format has changed, we will be having a one-hour program, and my guest today is Dr. Joaquin Posada. Now, he is not only a business success throughout the world, internationally, but he is a genuine, gracious, fun-loving, and spirited human being, and I am very pleased to be able to call him a personal friend as well as a mentor. Before I also let him speak, once he starts, that's it. I want to just make mention. Oh, there he goes. I heard you. Before I make mention, he has right now four books, and the one that we are going to be speaking about, as well as the others, is Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, The Secret to Sweet Success in Work and Life. And this is a personal story as well as a creation or a co-creation of himself as well as Ellen Singer. In this book, what I'd like to begin, before I even tell you who he is, I'd like to read the back pages, page 78 more or less, because this really stands for the principle behind this book. It says, marshmallow resistance is not easy or popular. We have become a fast food society. As a culture, both on the individual and corporate levels, we are always focusing on instant gratification, instant rewards, and of course, instant profits. What we need to do is reconfigure our priorities. You will make millions of choices throughout your life, and each of those choices will determine who you are, what you do, and what you become or possess. There are plenty of people who begin life in luxury and end it in poverty, and just as many who spend their early years in the hood, so to say, or a trailer park and achieve millionaire, even billionaire status. Don't blame or rely on your past. It's what you do with your current assets, how you use your talent, education, personality, persistence, money, and marshmallow-resisting skills that matters. And this is why this marshmallow theory and Joaquin Posada is here on Power to Be You, to bring this to you. So before, hold on with me, Dr. Joaquin Posada, I'd like to just give him a little bit of who you are. International speaker, author, and consultant, author of a column in Yahoo Latin America, author of Business Intelligence, Business Monday in the San Juan Star, Motivational Capsule in WASU, which is the only commercial station, a radio station in Puerto Rico. He is the main author of Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, The Secret to Sweet Success in Work and Life, which is an international bestseller selling more than 2 million copies overseas, short to be the same here in America. He is the main author of Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever, The Secret to Sweet Success in Times of Change. He is also the author of How to Survive Among Piranhas, How to Get What You Want with What You Have. So he has 6 videos of personal development. You can reach him through www.askjoaquin.com, and that is ask, askjoachim.com. Now, with nothing more for me to say, Dr. Joaquin, welcome on Power to Be You.
Well, Sandra, thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
I know that you're trying to help humanity, and anytime that someone or some of my friends do that, I'm here to willing to help. So we can start with whatever question you want to ask me, and then I can develop the theory. I can, of course, I understand that a lot of people are always saying, well, why is it called Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet? That's a question, I think, Sandra, that you did ask me, correct?
I did, because you know what, when you automatically think of a marshmallow, you know that it's gooey and you know that it's soft, but it brings a lot of awareness. Now, once you read the book and once you explain the theory behind it and the actual Stanford University test, you're like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense, and it's like your whole life becomes, you know, doable.
Exactly. In fact, that was the reason why I named it Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet. Because this was an actual experiment that was done at the University of Stanford and by an American psychologist. He had the foresight to try to test out a theory of delayed gratification. And the way he did it is he took 600 children, age 4 years old, and he placed them in a room all by themselves. And one by one, he would put them in that room, and he would bring a marshmallow. Of course, every child that participated loved marshmallows. That was a must for the child to participate in the experiment. Any child that did not eat marshmallows could not participate. Anyway, so he places the child with a marshmallow in a room, and he tells the kid, Johnny, I'm going to be leaving the room for 15 minutes. If when I come back, this marshmallow is still here, you will get two. If when I come back, the marshmallow is not here, you will get nothing else. However, you have a choice. You can eat it or not eat it. It will all depend on you. So he would leave the room. And imagine, to tell a child that is 4 years old not to eat something that they really like is the equivalent, Sandra, of telling you, I will bring you a cup of coffee in 2 hours. That's the same mental decision that the child has to make. You know, if we were adults, he would say, it would mean, I cannot touch this in 2 hours.
That's
so anyway, he would go behind a lot, yes, it's a long time. He would go behind a glass window, and he would observe the behavior of the child, and something fascinating happened. 2 out of 3, as soon as the door closed, 1 second later, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute, they ate the marshmallow. 2 out of 3. Some lasted 14 minutes and 50 seconds. But finally, they succumbed. They gave way to their need to have the gratification right there and then. 1 out of 3 did not eat the marshmallow. 1 out of 3 would look at the marshmallow. They would stand up. They would deviate their attention to the walls, to their dresses, to their pants. Some of them even smelled the marshmallow and put it back in the table. Some of them licked it and put it back. That child, at 4 years old, already knew what it meant to wait now and sacrifice now and have the self-discipline now in order to get more later. That is a key principle that successful people will always put into practice in life. Now, once the experiment was over, 2 out of 3 ate the marshmallow, 1 out of 3 did not. Follow-up study, 15 years later, they go back to those children, and they found something fascinating. They find that 100% of the children that did not eat the marshmallow, they were all successful. They were doing great. They had very good grades. Their entrance exam, Sandra, was 215 points on average higher than the children that ate the marshmallow. Their thinking skills, their plans for the future, their relationship with their parents, with the students, with the teachers was very good. They had already a clear path to a successful future. A great percentage of the children that ate the marshmallow did not make it to college. They dropped out. Or even they did not even go into college. They started working. Some of them went into college and dropped out. Some of them were in college with you know, poor grades, and some were still in college with good grades, but they were few and far between. The ones that dropped out or that were working, they were working low-level jobs. They were delivering pizzas. They were waiting tables. They were pumping gas. They were not making much money. And even though they were not making much money, they owed a lot of money. They were highly in debt. They were, some of them with alcoholism problems, some of them with drug addiction. They were not doing well in society. So, Sandra, what did that teach us? It taught us that probably the most important factor in success is the ability to delay gratification. In other words, the self-discipline to take the steps that you need to take today in order to assure yourself of a very brilliant future. That's the basis for this study. And I thought it was such an important concept. I thought that it was so revolutionary that I needed to write a book so that we could teach as many children as possible, as many students as possible, as many young people as possible, this principle, so that they at least can contribute to make their country of origin or their country where they live a more successful country, and they themselves can reach 65 years old and be able to retire and not have to depend on charity or on Social Security or on their parents or trying to help, or even children, you know, becoming lawyers and becoming surgeons and whatever, you know, and they would be maintained by their children. No, the objective is to for you to understand these principles, and then you build your own life to a point where you will reach 65 and you are financially self-sufficient. That's the concept, Sandra. That's the concept.
And there's so much here. Of course, I always take notes, and so many things rise up as I listen to you, and you know, and questions, of course. But one thing, I know that you said you have extreme success in Korea with a lot of children. Can you explain that?
Yes. When I wrote the book, to tell you the truth, I might not be that visionary that thought that my book would be, you know, worldwide or whatever. I did, of course, have in mind that I wanted my book to be well-known in the States, in other words, in English, and in Spanish, in Latin America. I confess, I was not thinking of Asia or other countries. Well, to my surprise, the publisher of the book, which is Penguin, a very well-respected and prestigious publishing house, they took the book to Frankfurt, the book fair in Frankfurt. That's the most important book fair in the world. Second place is the one held in the States, the American Booksellers Association, which is also huge. So anyway, the Frankfurt is the main one. And they took my book to Frankfurt, and little was I going to expect that my book would fall in, people would fall in love from all over the world. So my book is now in 20 languages. And in the Asian countries, in Korea, in Taiwan, in China, in Japan, in Thailand, it has become a very important book. In Korea especially, it became a bestseller, where to the point that until last month, it was the book that has sold the most copies in the history of Korea. I say until last month because I thought that I would hold that record for a long time. But as you know, Sandra, sometimes a record are made to be broken, and there's a little book over there that came out with a big movie called Harry Potter. And that book just passed me as the most sold book in Korea. And I'm second place, and third place is Da Vinci Code.
Let's leave the date to you first.
Exactly. However, I cannot complain, because my book is so famous in Korea that it really motivated me to write the next book, which is the one that is called Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever. When the Koreans interviewed me, because as you know, when you have an author or a book that sells so many copies, it gets caught by the press, and the press wants to know, who the author is, and they take an interest in the author. And the authors in this case, well, my co-author Ellen is a behind the scenes editor. She doesn't appear in public, so I'm the face of the book all over the world. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, the Koreans called me. They interviewed me several times, and I had to ask them a question. I had to say, listen, Mr. Chung-Fu, or whatever his name was, I am really so grateful to the Korean people. You know, they have made my book such a bestseller. But, you know, as a Korean yourself, I need to ask you, why did my book sell so many books in Korea? What was it about the book that really captivated your people? Because Korea has 48 million citizens. And to sell 1 million copies, and that copy, that book is read probably by five people, that means 5 and 1/6, you're talking about 15 to 20% of the population reading my book. And that's huge. If I would have had that same success in the States, that means that 40 or 50 million people would have had my book here in the States. So imagine what kind of success that book represents in Korea. So I asked him, why was it? Why is it that your people bought this book in such quantities? And what he said was absolutely astounding. You know, it's incredible what he said. He said, because you identified the exact principle that has made Korea a successful country. Those were his words. You identified the exact principle that made Korea a successful country. And then in the conversation, he said that we were having that problem here in the States. And by the way, in Puerto Rico too. We are eating more marshmallows than what we're producing. We have a high deficit in our economy. We are spending more money than we're producing. And that, of course, if we do not change that pattern, will mean that we have a high risk of going bankrupt. And that's a worry, of course, for most people in industry, and something that we all have to tackle. So that's the marshmallow principle applied to a country. That's why I say that this book, Sandra, and I really appreciate you inviting me to your program, because you share the same vision that I do. You want to help as many people as possible. And right now, I believe that the marshmallow principle is something that really has to be understood by all segments of society. That's why I also did my PR person in California, a wonderful guy named Ariel Coro. He developed a website called www.marshmallowprinciple.com, and we're trying to see if we can convert this marshmallow idea into a movement, if we can get people from all over the world to understand it and change their lives, because if people change their lives, we'll change the life of the country.
Well, you can already count me in as being a part of the marshmallow concept, because this morning I spoke with a coach friend of mine, which I believe he's going to be coming online and asking you a question specific to this. But you mentioned it in your book, you know, your life. I would like to ask you, but without getting away from the question, I know that your life, based on your book, was a difficult life at the beginning financially. You spent a lot more than you made. You went through the experience in your own life. You came upon the principle. It transformed your life.
Yes.
And now you can say from testimony, I've been there, done that. Now I see that here is a tool that we can use. Because for me, I will tell you, I have been that person. I have been a marshmallow gobbler all my life.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, so have I. So far I. Yes, so far. So far have I.
And when we met, you explained, you know, there are extroverts and introverts. Extroverts want to live life. You know, for dreamers, we want to live life. We want to experience life. We want to enjoy ourselves. We want to give and bestow upon others. But then reality sets in, and it's like, okay, where am I now?
Exactly. I had the same problem. I'm an extrovert. I like to be around people. I like to, it's difficult for me to concentrate in writing a book. So extroverts have more difficulty in writing books. That's why 70% of all books in the world are written by introverts. People that are comfortable being alone, they can work alone, they can sit in front of a computer, they have the discipline to do so. Extroverts, we do not like to be alone. We like to be with people. We like to be talking to people. We are leaders, you know. We want people to follow us. And to do that, of course, you have to communicate, and then extroverts are communicators. And, of course, that means that we sometimes spend more than we make. We sometimes try to appear to have more than we have, and that costs us money. And I was at a point in my life where I was totally in debt. I owed $70,000 in credit cards, in MasterCard, Visa, American Express, and I was making a lot of money and spending a lot more. And then I came into contact with the marshmallow principle, and I read it. I asked for the experiment from the University of Stanford. I understood it. I rationalized it. I saw that it was a picture of what had been happening to me in my life. And that's when I said, you know what, this will transform my life and will also transform the lives of many other people, because I am going to do it for me and for humanity to, you know, let people know what they're doing wrong and then how to correct their lives.
Now, how long ago did you come across to the study. And in reading your book, of course, I don't want to give it away, but give people, first of all, how they can get your book, please.
Yes, my book is practically everywhere. You can get it in Barnes & Noble. You can get it in Borders. You can get it in Amazon.com. You can even get it in my website. It's available, you know, everywhere. And a lot of people ask me, which one should I read first, the Don't Need the Marshmallow Yet or Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever? Well, I would say read the Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, even though when we planned to do the second book, which was a product of the success of the first book. If the first book had not been that successful, we would never have written a second book. But we wrote the second book, you know, to be a stand-alone book. In other words, someone can buy it and get a lot out of it, learn a lot of principles from it, easy to adapt principles that will change your life. But, of course, you will always have the question in your mind, how did this story begin? What happened to Arthur? I meet him now in the second book, Gobble the Marshmallow. I know him now as a person that graduated from university. But who was he before he went into the university? And that's where you read on Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, the story of Arthur, which is a chauffeur. He's broke. He owes a lot of money. And he works for a millionaire, which is rich and has a lot of money and understands the marshmallow principle. And they're both intelligent. They both have great personalities. They both have what it takes to succeed. However, Arthur is broke and Jonathan is rich. And then that's when Arthur says, how come we are pretty much the same and you're rich and I'm poor, I'm broke. And that's when when Jonathan starts teaching the marshmallow principle and other principles that I myself in my career have found extremely valuable. Well, those principles are taught to Arthur by Jonathan in the book. And, of course, in the second book, those principles are revisited. They are mentioned. They're also taught because we have to reinforce. Learning is reinforcement. Learning is repetition. But they're put in the second book in a way that you do not think is repetitious. You see them as part of the plot, and it reinforces your knowledge, and it also goes into other principles that are not in the first book, which, by the way, you, Sandra, spent a week with me in a wonderful seminar for million-dollar authors, and you understood the value of a hook. Remember?
Yes.
How important a hook is for a book? Well, I wrote a book. I wrote a hook on the second book, the Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever, that makes people run to buy the book. And would you like to hear that hook?
Of course, please.
Okay. Well, the hook comes from an experience I had several years ago when a devastating hurricane went through South Florida. It was called Hurricane Andrew. Were you born by then, Sandra?
I love you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I was different diapers.
Okay. It was in 1991, so I think, yeah. In fact, I'll never forget the date. It was August 23rd. Actually, it was past 12 o'clock. It was at 3 in the morning, so it technically it's August 24th. And I know the date because it was my birthday. I had a
and
party.
My birthday, too.
Really?
That's my birthday, too. Yes, August
23rd. You're kidding me.
Go, Leo.
Sandra, we were both born August 23rd?
Yes.
That is amazing. You didn't know that, and I didn't know that either.
That's great.
Well, your birthday and my birthday, that day, and the forces of nature conspired for my party to be suspended. I was left with everything, the food, the balloons, everything. And, of course, the party didn't happen because people were running to their homes to take shelter for Hurricane Andrew not to get him. But anyway, Hurricane Andrew went by and it practically destroyed Homestead and South Florida and Key West and all the you know, all that area.
Yeah.
So a guy named Gary Halbert, which died a year ago or so, he was a very, very, he was a guy that wanted to help people, you know, and he wanted to help the community, even though he had a lot of other defects or things that he did that people did not like. But one thing we can understand is that he was a genius. He was one of the best, if not the best, copywriter in history in the United States. And he had that soft heart that he wanted to help people in need. So he said to 20 of the best speakers in the world, and he included me in that list of 20, to go to Key West and offer a seminar for 3 days. And that seminar was going to be done by us for free. It was our contribution for people that lost their homes in the hurricane. And all the money of the people that attended, they would go to Key West, they would stay there for 3 days, and they would, at the end of the seminar, Gary Halbert would say, okay, you heard the 20 top speakers in the world. Now write a check to the Red Cross on what you think this information was worth to you. And he was able to get over $1 million for the Red Cross, which the lady, when she got the amount, cried when she understood that she was going to have $1 million to help people in need. Anyway, the hook is, because I was there in that seminar, I did my part, and I stayed for the 3 days. And one of the other speakers is a guy named Ted Nicholas. He's a very successful guy. Ted Nicholas is a writer. He's a book writer. He's a copywriter. He's one of the most successful authors in the world. And he gave a great speech. And at the end, someone asked me, Mr. Nicholas, what is it that made you successful? And when he was going to answer, the master of ceremonies, this guy named Halbert, he said, don't say anything, don't say anything. Write that secret inside this envelope. So Ted Nicholas took a piece of paper, he wrote the secret, put it inside the envelope. Gary Halbert sealed the envelope. He licked it with his tongue, and he sealed it, and then he took it up in his hand, and he said, okay, how much? $5. Let's see, who gives 10? 10, 15, 20. And he had 300 people bidding for that secret that Ted Nicholas had written in that piece of paper. Sandra, the bidding went all the way to $1,500. A guy came up, wrote a check, and he took the envelope and put it in his pocket. And I never saw him again. 2 years later, I get hired by a person in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I go to that company, and I suddenly recognize the guy that bought that secret. He was the one that had hired me to work in his company. So that night, before he took me to the airport, or before we said goodbye, I think I had a rental car, before we said goodbye, I said, you bought that secret in the Gary Halbert Hurricane Seminar, didn't you? He said, yes, that's why I met you. That's why I brought you up here to work with me. I said, please, what did the envelope say? And he smiled, and he opened the drawer, his right-hand drawer. He handed me the envelope. I read the secret that cost $1,500. And Sandra, I revealed that secret in the book, Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever. Okay? So Sandra, right there, for someone that buys the book, already made $1,500. Because I asked this gentleman, wow, when I read it, did you make the money back, or has this principle helped you in your life? And he said, not only did I make my money back, it's made me millions of dollars, because I had that problem that the secret helped me solve. So the secret is in the book, and this secret is already paid for by someone else.
So the hook is right there, the story.
Yes, exactly, Sandra.
Storyteller. That is great. So you listen. So for all of you who are listening out there, our callers, by the way, the call number for you to come and speak with Dr. Joaquin de Posada is 646-716-8620. You heard it from the man's mouth. Don't gobble the marshmallow ever.
Right.
Isn't it? Don't gobble the marshmallow ever.
Yes, that's the last book. It just came out a month ago.
Well,
it's only in English and in Korean. Those are the only two languages. Hopefully, we'll be translating it also to the other 20 languages too.
Now, are you selling like a special feature with your signature on it and that maybe you can auction off for a no, you know what, actually, as I'm sitting here, and this is going to be a serious note just because it can actually happen, if you will allow me, maybe we can do something like this. I just received an email today from a reputable person talking about a child who is 7 years old who has cancer. And
okay.
This person lives here. And this little girl is a first grade student at Mayfield Elementary School.
Okay.
And it says, "Hi, my name is Amy Bruce. I am 7 years old, and I have a large tumor on my brain and severe lung cancer. The
wow.
doctors say I will die soon if it isn't fixed, and my family can't pay the bills. The Make-A-Wish Foundation has agreed to donate 7 cents for every time this message is sent on. So those of you who send this along, thank you so much." And they give a number, a Wake Forest Outpatient Dialysis forward source ID number. So I've actually sent it out. I've actually sent out, forwarded the email. But I'm just thinking if maybe you would like to do some of the books and maybe sign them, and people can go on your website, and you know, I'm just using my mind right now to maybe put something together and make this fun, but make it also with a, you know, with an end in sight that we can just help out this little girl.
Yes, absolutely. I will send. I will, you know, sign my book and send it to a little girl with all my heart. I would do that absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe you can sign like 10 books, and then the people that come, they can bid on the book or something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing like a little fun part in
there. I know.
So
whatever your mind can imagine or conceive, it can happen. And anything you need, certainly we would love to help this young girl, poor thing.
Okay, good, good. I'll put that on the website as well. Now, we're going to go forward and take some calls. I have a call from 732 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi.
It's Joe. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Joe, thank you. I did mention that you were going to be calling on. So, Dr. Joaquin, this is Joe, a partner that I do Wake Up to Empowerment show in the morning on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for being here. Your story is very intriguing, and I'm glad I actually showed up because I certainly have some questions regarding some of the things that you spoke about with these children. It's pretty fascinating to hear how we can actually get these results by implementing a very simple system at early enough in life where, you know, it can really make a difference. So one of the questions that I have is it's a two-part question. I mean, when I hear this story about these four-year-olds taking this on, you know, what has these four-year-olds have this mindset, or how does this mindset get instilled either way, whether they're the ones that ate the mushroom or, I'm sorry, the marshmallow? I did that this morning, too.
Yes.
How do they develop at such a young age already, how do they make that distinction? You know, what causes them to want to eat the marshmallow as opposed to not eat the marshmallow?
Yes, that's a very important question because there's always the thought, or there's always the thinking that for a four-year-old to be able to behave that way, you know, versus the other ones that don't, it could be a genetic disposition. It could be that there's some people that are wired for success. In other words, they come into the world and their DNA, which is acquired from their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, already gives them an advantage that other kids would not have. And that is true. That happens, of course, with many of the kids that did not eat the marshmallow. However, we also find that some of the kids that did not eat the marshmallow were taught by their parents not to eat the marshmallow. In other words, they had been raised when they were 2 years old, 2.5, 3, 3.5. Their parents, you know, taught them self-discipline. They would tell them, do not eat. If you eat the salad, you will get the dessert. If you behave well, I'll take you to the movies. If you help your mom and stay quiet for an hour or so, I will buy you a little present in the store. You know, and they would teach the child to not get what they want right now and hold off for later on. Those people learned that skill because delaying gratification, Joe, it's an emotional intelligence skill. And that's why there's hope for everyone, because even those kids that were wired to eat the marshmallow or that were not taught by their parents, they can later on in life, like myself and like Sandra, we understood the principle and we changed our behavior to change our lives. That's why it was so important for me to write the book.
And you mentioned... Sorry, what I wanted to say was, with you mentioned also IQ. How does IQ relate to the emotional intelligence in this principle?
Well, IQ, of course, is an important, it's an intelligence quotient, and intelligent people, of course, can be very successful. However, it's been proven, there's enough evidence to prove that the highest percentage of a person's success will depend on emotional intelligence, their ability to get along with other people, their the way they handle situations. It's like the maturity of the person, you know, and that luckily can, of course, be learned later in life so that people can then, learn the skills and apply them. Because, you know, it would be pretty sad, Sandra and Joe, if, you know, people would be separated, you know, into those that really were born one way and can be successful, and then the other ones that were not, you know. Emotional intelligence is more important for success than IQ, and it can be taught.
Wow, that's excellent. Now, Joe, did you have another question?
Well, actually, yeah. I'm not even sure if it's more of a question as much as it is an observation. You know, based on what was just shared here about these kids coming into the world wired through, you know, genetically disposed here. And so, you know, it's interesting because that says to me that, well, you know, these kids take on the genes that are really developed from their parents' thought process. And
yes.
So then when they come into the world, not only are they predisposed to have these kind of thoughts and this way of being, but then it continues to be reinforced by the same person who created that child in the first place and planted those genes. So it's an interesting concept. And now, unfortunately, now that child is not going to understand what that programming is that has taken on until such time in their adult life where – all of a sudden they see that whoever it is that they have become isn't working, and what do we do from there? So now how does one just retrain their this disempowering habit pattern in essence? What does an adult have to do to make this transformation?
Exactly. It's very difficult for some people more than others. But what is important to understand is that even though you're wired not to be that way, or even though you were taught differently, you, emotional intelligence, you know, you can change it because those are skills that can be taught. And some people will need a mentor. Some people will need to understand the principle and then make a decision to apply it. Self-awareness is extremely important. Once you understand and you recognize your own emotions and the effects those emotions have in other people, you know, you are, you know, having that self step, that first step, self-regulating your behavior. In other words, a person being able to manage their internal states, a person being able to manage their impulses and their resources in a way that will gain them an advantage and will get them a specific reward in the future, you know, it's very important. And I tell people, listen, let's say that you understand the principle, but let's say you have doubts whether you can do it or not or whatever, you know, mechanize the process. In other words, you're working for a company, you go to your boss and you tell the boss, listen, boss, I know this company allows me to contribute to my 401k. So I want to, from now on, please take 10% of my salary and put it into my 401k. And I know that might be a lot of discipline. That might be hard in me. I know that might probably be stressful for me to do that. But if I know that if I do it, I will be very successful in the future. And you there, Joe, are now mechanizing even your own temptations, because if the money doesn't reach your pocket – you are not able to spend it. So you can there now, at that sample, that example I just gave you, is a way for you to impose upon yourself, you know, the concept of managing your own resources and your own impulses to the point where you cannot, you know, get your hands on all your money, and then that way you can not allow your disruptive emotions of spending everything you make to take hold of you and not be able to accomplish your goals.
So, as like everything else here, it sounds like it's important that we really do accept where we are in this moment and just pretty much admit that, you know, that this is a challenge for us and seek some sort of guidance that can really put us on a different path one step at a time.
Exactly. In my case, you know, I understood what was happening to me. You know, I was spending a lot of money. I had a lot of debt. So I said, you know what, if I continue this pace, I have studied a lot in my life. I have earned a lot of money in my life. And then there will be nothing when I'm 65. And I'm going to have to depend on my daughter being very successful or on charity, or I'm going to have to depend on Social Security. And that's nothing that a person, that means that's something that a person like me should not be depending on. So I made that conscious decision. And you know, I did that, Joe. I started to save 10% of everything that I earned automatically. I had contract with companies, and one company in particular I had a big contract with. I told them, everything you pay me, you save 10%. You don't give it to me. And that started me getting into, you know, up on the right path. And then I said, another thing I have to do is eliminate debt. So from now on, besides that 10% that I'm saving, everything that I, any discretionary income that I get, I will pay off my credit cards. You know something, Joe? For a normal person that owes, let's say, $8,000 in a credit card, in a Visa or a MasterCard, if they pay the minimum, okay, every single month, it will take them 32 years to eliminate that debt. So, Joe, what we're saying is that a person, a person based on their behavior at the beginning of their lives, maybe a lot of these kids at 19, 20, 21 were already working but making not much money. But they got a car, and they got a car that was very expensive, and they paid a huge amount of money for that car on a monthly basis, and then they got credit cards, and they have their credit cards to the limit. That person, if that person does not change their behavior, if they do not read this book, if they do not meet someone that will steer them in the right direction, that person from forever will always be behind, will never be able to have money, and that person is condemned to being a person that will end their lives in need and will not ever be able to retire with the comforts of a person that has worked their whole life, and then they can live their golden years in tranquility and traveling and doing the things that they were not able to do when they were working.
I will add something. I cheated because I went in. I was able to get some information from Don't Gobble the Marshmallow Ever.
Don't tell me you went and read The Secret.
No, I'm not.
I mean, did you read The Secret?
No, I had. I used some leverage.
You don't...
And I used my partner Suzanne Covey, who also has a Blog Talk Show and whom you met. She was able to give me the 6 steps marshmallow plan, which is right up what Joe's saying. You know, what do you need to change? And then you give off 6 different steps of following through with, which is bringing that awareness and bringing that accountability so that then you can become empowered.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I have another question, if I may, Sandra.
Yes.
Last one.
Go ahead.
well, you know, there's a lot of talk about living for today, you know, and not saving your money for a rainy day and things of that nature. What do you say to that mindset?
Yes, I find that mindset very prevalent, more so in our society. We are conditioned, Joe, to be spenders. We're conditioned to be consumers. We are constantly bombarded by advertising and by subliminal messages that tell us buy, 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 get everything you want. You deserve everything you have right now. Do it now. You might not be able to enjoy it in the future. That is a mindset, Joe. I tell people, listen, you can have your cake and eat it too. Do whatever you want, except you will take 10% of what you make, and that will be money you'll never see. Now, with the other 90, do whatever you want. Buy whatever you want, do the things you want to do, but always keep that 10% where that's untouchable. That is the same as if you had spent that money in a vacation and it's not yours. You live your life like that. In 30 years, you are a millionaire, as long as you don't allow your debts to kill you. Because it would defeat your purposes if you're saving 10% on one side and then you're building up your credit cards on the other side, you know. You have to, there are people that are doing both. And then they start thinking, how will I cheat society? Do I declare myself in bankruptcy and then my debts will be taken care of and then I will have the money saved up someplace else? It's hidden. The government doesn't know where it is. But if you start thinking on how do I cheat, how do I fool society, that's bad karma. That will get back to you, you know. Why not play by the rules? The rules are pretty good. The rules allow you to be successful. Hey, play by the rules. You can sleep at night and you can not be worried that somebody's going to go and get you. So, you know, do what's right, and I think that if you organize your life and understand these principles, you can definitely be very successful.
Exactly. I appreciate you saying that. And if it's not karma, it's certainly being out of integrity that ultimately catches up to you anyway.
Exactly, Joe, exactly.
So, good. Joe, I'm going to ask you to stay on, but we're going to take some other calls. So we're going to move on to the 585 area code. If you'd like to ask a question, go ahead. Hello, hi, 505-85, are you on the line? Okay, we thank you for being on the line. If you don't want to ask a question, I'm just going to go over to the next person. 214 area code. Hello, 214, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yes, hi, would you like to ask a question?
I'd love to hear the stories about the marshmallow and the success of these four-year-olds, Pat and all that. And I just wanted to know, are there any other stories that you might want to share with us that will give us a little more insight or even just reinforce what you put out here today? I just want to know. I like your stories. I want to hear another one.
Okay. Well, yes. Let me give you an example, a practical example on how this principle works in life. I am a professional speaker, and I speak all over the world, and that's my main profession. I always tell people I'm a speaker that writes. I'm not a writer that speaks. I speak for a living, and then I understood that I needed to have a book in order to be able to be more successful. So having the discipline, being an extrovert, having the discipline to be able to write a book, it was extremely hard for me. But one story I can tell you is that I had, for example, a client. And that client asked me to do a time management seminar. And that, of course, would be more or less a $7,500 job. I would go in. I would have 20 people, 25. I would do a time management session. It would take me the whole day. And then at the end, I would make $7,500. And those $7,500 would be the product of my session that day. When I sat down with the decision maker, when he said, I want a time management seminar, and it's for executives and this and that. It will be one day, and I think you can do this pretty well, and that's why we called you. I said, yes, sir, I can do a very good time management seminar. I know this stuff very well, and I certainly would be able to give it to your people. However, Mr. Client, I would like to know something. What is happening in your company right now that you think a time management seminar will solve? What is it what problems are you having with your people that you're hiring me to do a time management seminar? That was a key question. And he started telling me stuff that was happening in the telephone company. And I started asking questions. Oh, really? And how often does that happen? And what is the consequences of that happening? And what is that costing you? So we went into a two-hour session, 2 or 3 hours, and then I met with them again and again. Well, to make a long story short, what was originally a $7,500 session became a $1.2 million contract. I, of course, did not eat the marshmallow. I did not accept that one thing the client wanted because I knew the client needed more and I could provide that more. That's something I tell people when they go to my sessions or my conferences. In the world of sales, I tell them most salespeople are looking for that quick order. Most salespeople want that signature right there to be gratified and then, you know, get the immediate reward right there with the client. If you don't do that, if you ask the right questions, if you find out what the customer needs and you find out everything they need and how your product or service can provide that need, how can it satisfy that need, you will walk out with a bigger order than if you just simply went ahead and took the order, the first thing that came out of the customer's mouth.
Oh, what I really like is what you say about in your book, marshmallow resistance is more than just a theory, it is a way of life. No matter what your profession, your personal definition of happiness, or your conception of an ideal personal or business relationship, resisting marshmallows will bring you success. And of course, your book, Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, completely outlines it. And I really think that you should contact the marshmallow company and plug your book to their product, because I will tell you, I saw myself going to the store, buying a bag of marshmallows to try to use those marshmallows as examples of, okay, I'm not going to eat the marshmallow in this area of my life. I'm going to put the marshmallow here, maybe eat that. You know, they're anchors, and they are tools that just facilitate understanding and give you, for me, understanding your principle, it allowed me to give myself permission to look at something bigger than
exactly
what was right here in front of me. You know,
exactly.
not feeling deprived, not feeling that, well, I can't afford it. No. It's right now. I don't want to settle for this. I want what I truly want.
That's
in
right.
A relationship, in my finances, in my company, with the quality of friends that I have, with the people that I'm coming, you know, the mission, the purpose of it. And it just makes sense. It's like a light bulb goes on.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, Sandra, I should also add that I made sure that I covered in the Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet book, I covered, you know, other principles that are extremely important, like, you know, keeping your promises. That is so important. You keep your promise, and then you will develop trust. This is a good example. You told me to call you at 11:55. Now, you trusted me. You thought I would do that. If I had not called, you would have been stuck with your radio program by yourself, and you would probably have to wing it, and then you would try to talk about the book or you know, take calls or whatever. But, you know, you trusted me, I would call you at 11:55, and I kept my promise. And that's important because now your level of trust with me is higher. Now, you know, Joaquin, you know, I met this guy, and we hit it off, you know, we're born the same day. But you know what? I invited him, and he called me at 11:55. He's a guy that will do what he says he will do. And then you will tell all the people, and that will bring me business. That will bring me good karma, as they say. So that principle is very important, and it is in the book.
I tell you, it's the same principle that I went by with getting you on here, because I said, you trust me, it works both ways. And I actually thought of that. I said, if I cannot get him on the phone, I have his book, and it will not be the same, because having him live, knowing that, you know, knowing the extent of your professionalism, of your speaking, of your motivation, of the knowledge, just by looking at, like I told you, the first time you and I contacted each other through the email, your business card signature block, it takes half the page. And it's incredible because you've been there and you've done it. You know, you've been there. You have the world knowledge. You have the ability. And for me, I'm just so happy because you just bring so much. I think you just bring so much wealth of everything, expertise to everyone, and especially the callers that we have here today. So again, thank you as an aside, and move on with your. You said we have 6 minutes, so you have other principles that you'd like to bring about.
Well, in the Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, there's a principle that I called: successful people are willing to do things that unsuccessful people are not willing to do. That is such an important principle. And that has also to do with the marshmallow. See, people that do things that others are not willing to do are doing things that many times are not pleasant. They require sacrifice. They require self-discipline. They require doing stuff that others are not willing to do because others want to do the easy stuff. Others want to do what they desire immediately. So that's another example of not eating the marshmallow. You are doing things that others are not willing to do, and that will bring success. And there in that book, I mention, my experience with work with NBA teams and what I learned from a guy named Larry Bird. And I mentioned what happened to the career of my cousin, which has been very successful. And he's a catcher for the New York Yankees, Jorge Posada. And, he was able to achieve his goal of getting to the big leagues and becoming a superstar because he did not eat the marshmallow. He was willing to do things that others were not willing to do. So that's a very important principle. In the don't gobble the marshmallow ever, I said, I have to give it more depth. I have to go into some of the principles more profoundly. And I also included what I call the 10 laws of life, which I have applied in my own life and which are extremely important. I can probably give you a couple of rules right now here for your callers. One of them is rule number one, or law number one: life rewards positive action. Put your goals in writing and take steps to achieve them. If you do not do that, you will be wandering aimlessly. You will not have a target to shoot, and that, of course, will delay your results in life. There's another one which is very, very important. Life demands you make a choice. Either you make excuses or you get results. Choose results. Do not choose excuses. Don't try to justify your mistakes. Instead, take steps to correct them and do what needs to be done in order for you to be successful. Those laws are present in the book, and they certainly make an impact in a person's life.
Do you have that in a T-shirt?
I'm sorry?
Do you have that in a T-shirt?
Actually, no. I have a T-shirt that has the cover of the book. maybe I should be writing those laws in the T-shirt, right?
Because it'd be great. I mean, just, for me, really, I love that. Life demands you make a choice. It's not about excuses. It's
results. Exactly. Life always, brings you to that point in life. Either you get results or you make excuses. And lots of people, majority of people, choose excuses. And that's not good. That's not good.
Well, good. Well, caller, are you good with that question? Because I'd like to get one more in my last 2 minutes.
Yeah,
do you have another question? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to go for 631. Hi, 631, you're on the line.
Hello, Sandra. Hello, Joaquin. It's Michelle Gentile.
Hi, yes, Michelle.
Hello.
It's so great hearing from you.
Oh, it's wonderful. And, your stories just keep coming, and I enjoy them every time. When you were talking about, getting that contract for $7,500 and then delaying the gratification and going for the $1.2 million contract,
yes,
it reminded me of an important principle that I needed to learn, and my husband as well, as being independent contractors, where taxes aren't withheld and we're getting check sent us. And I didn't know if we had a couple of minutes to share that and then how I've passed that along to my children.
That's important, yes.
Okay. We would get a check and we'd say, oh, wow, we just made $1,000. Wow, we just made $500, whatever the number was,
yes,
as independent contractors.
Yes.
And, we're thinking we got some money. And then when we have to pay taxes quarterly, we have to calculate our income based on the after the tax. And when you're an independent contractor getting a full check,
yes,
we were tending to think in terms of this is how much money we make. We're thinking in terms of gross. And then when we were looking at our purchases, we were thinking, well, we make such and such amount of money.
Yes.
So we learned that we have to really think in terms of half.
Absolutely.
And having a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old growing up in America with America's, culture and consumerism, we've passed that along to them so that when they do their chores, they make half. We tell them that they need to put aside 50% towards their future, which will imitate, say, like a 30% tax bracket, 10% for savings, and 10% for charity.
That is wonderful. That is a golden nugget. That golden nugget probably made the call worthwhile for everyone that is listening.
I don't think so. Sandra and Joaquin, you make it worthwhile for everyone.
54 minutes, 54 seconds to go.
Right.
Well, that was wonderful. That's a very good way to discipline yourself and to teach your children. You see, your kids, Michelle, doesn't matter whether they had it on their DNA or not, because you are teaching them the principles that have to be applied, and they will be successful because either they either have it on the DNA or they also get it from you in your teachings, on your daily teachings will change their lives.
Thank you.
Joaquim and Michelle and everyone that's been on Blog Talk Radio, Power to Be You, we have 19 seconds, but all I can say is thank you. Thank you, everyone that's been here. This is archived. It's available for people to send out to other people. Buy the book, support the Marshmallow Group, and we will be together soon.
Terrific. Thank you for having me on your program, Sandra.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Joaquim.
Well, we did good, huh?
All of us are on the line. Who's,
Sandra.
Who's there? Yes.
Oh, Michelle's there too.
Yes, can you
Michelle
hear me?
Is on the line.
Okay, Michelle, let me tell you, were you a plant?
No, I wasn't a plant.
No,
I wasn't a plant at all. And I'm so glad that we were able to all be on together there. For, you know, it was just reminded me of Philly. It was just great to talk with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
Sandra had mentioned that she had extended the invitation to people that went to the $1 million author seminar.
Yeah. I got the email that you were going to be on, and I was just so excited to call in.
Oh,
and I'm glad I got to you. I also have Joe on the line. Joe, you're still on, right?
I am.
Hello.
We're all on.
Okay. Excellent. No, it's what's really great is to introduce you both to Joel. He's a coach, and he's been coaching for 15 years, but it's he's working on a program right now with the Down syndrome children.
Okay. Oh, that's good,
so that's
Joel. That's good.
Good work.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's important. Yeah, it's important that we, you know, I'd like to connect us, and because he and I definitely have worked a lot together, so I think this is just excellent to be able to have had this. So, you know, I don't want to take more of your time, Joaquim, but I know that this was just really great, and I thank you.
Well, thank you, Sandra. Let me tell you. Let me ask you. That's in your website, right? So, for example, I could download that interview, correct?
Exactly. It's available now, so you can go to blogtalkradio.com/.
Okay, what a second. Well, it's in your email.
I can send it to you.
Oh yeah, please send me the link. That way,
okay.
You know, I will look at it and then download it and pass it on to people that might have an interest in it.
Exactly. Now you tell us also, because I'd like to definitely join the marshmallowprinciple.com, the group.
Yes.
So that's something that I'm definitely going to go look into, and and also with the book, I'm thinking, you know, if you can honestly sign some books, and then if people can just maybe donate or something, I'll look for the information for this girl.
Yes, I would gladly do it. Now, but make certain that the girl exists, and you know, the internet is being used for a lot of stuff that is not true. You identify the girl, you talk to her or to her parents, and you understand that she's alive and she's there or whatever, and we'll wear some help to her, okay?
Yes, I definitely will, and I'll be in contact with you. Does anybody have anything else to say?
I have to hop off, so I just want to wish you all a great day, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you. You all have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you
all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here with you all.